Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. So I was.
So I'm sitting here at WorldCon, and I've got Janet Harriet, who is from Apex, here. Why don't you tell folks who you are and what you do?
Hi, I'm Janet Harriet. I'm the senior editor at Apex Publications. That means I handle most of the business aspects of what happens after we get the book manuscripts. I do very little with the magazine, the Hugo-nominated magazine.
Hugo-nominated as of this recording, possibly Hugo Award-winning after. We don't know. It's like Schrodinger's cat.
It's Schrodinger's rocket.
Yes, there you go.
And I take care of our authors and putting all the pieces of the book together to get it to the readers. The short version, which I probably should have started with, is everything that happens between when the author gives us the manuscript and the reader gets the book is what I do.
Okay.
Except writing the checks, which is what our publisher, Jason Sizemore, does.
And you were telling me that you were personally taking care of Maurice Broaddus.
I was. We were here at WorldCon, and I was somehow managed to end up being Maurice's little Sherpa guide.
And you know what? But that's fun.
Yeah. And I do like dealing with our authors.
I was sitting in the bar, and I was chatting with some folks, and there's a couple people at the other table, and I wasn't really paying attention to them, and then Chuck Wendig walked in, and I waved at Chuck. He was heading to that table, and he turned and he came over to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking with Chuck for a little bit, and the people at the table got up and were standing there like waiting. Mm-hmm. And I looked and I realized it was Maurice. I said, Maurice. He's like, well, I was wondering when you were going to notice me standing here. You know, I'm just waiting to say hello to you, Patrick. And I'm like, oh my god. Maurice is fun.
Yes, he is.
And he's like, I tried to shake his hand. He's like, no. He says, we hug. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know we hug. And he's like, yeah, we hug now. And I'm like, oh, okay, hug. So Maurice is a lot of fun.
Well, when he gets his chamois suit, he'll let you pet it.
Yes, yes. Well, he had the cool shirt on with the bird thing on the back that was like raised off the shirt. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh man, it was so cool. It was the pattern of the bird across his shoulders and down his back. It was all raised up, like a leathery kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. Yeah. Maurice
is the snappiest dresser.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know who else is a snappy dresser? Jason. No, I'm just kidding. He's not that much.
We're working on him. He's got... He has a behind-the-scenes wardrobe consultant.
Wardrobe consultant? There you go. Is it Gail Carriger? Because it should be.
No, it's Sarah Harvey.
Okay.
Hi, Sarah.
So, you guys are doing a little something different this con. You don't have a table in the dealer's room.
Nope, we don't.
You're just going around saying hi.
Yep, I am. I'm on a few programming events, and other than that, I am just wandering around saying hi to people and... conversing and not pinning myself down to a table.
Yeah, well, I've pinned myself down to a table down there in the lobby.
Oh, yes.
That's about where I've been. I mean, every time you've walked by, have I been anywhere else? I've either been there or in the bar.
Right, yeah. And yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in the bar.
Well, that's the place to go. You know, I've talked to a lot of authors that this is their first con.
Yeah, I have a coworker who
they picked up on it, yes.
Her first con, and I told
her. Oh, yeah, I saw her last night. She was in the bar.
Yes, she was in the bar because I told her, she asked how you network. I told her, go to the bar.
So, now, at this particular WorldCon, Apex is launching Glitter and Mayhem.
We are, yes.
And I still need to talk to John Klima and the other folks. We've got something set up. But from the Apex side, I mean, what's going on? What's the excitement, or you know?
Well, that was we did our first Kickstarter that Apex was associated with. The editors kickstarted the anthology and then brought the finished product to us. We had agreed ahead of time that we would publish it if they funded it.
Sure.
And so they delivered us the manuscript, and we. That they got the idea last WorldCon, so it's been 1 year start from inception to publication.
And Klima has told me how it all came together, and now he's wanting to do the next one. Yes. He's already got his idea for the next one.
Yes, I have suggested he might want to look two Worldcons out because a one-year inception to publication schedule is a little crazy.
Well, I mean, if you put all the work on John, now, I mean, it'd be pretty easy
but
for you guys.
But we're really proud of how the book came out. It looks gorgeous. It's getting great reviews.
Who did the cover?
Galen Dara.
Okay. We know Galen. We love Galen.
Yes, I have not yet met Galen, but apparently she is around, and I will be meeting her later.
Awesome. Yeah, I believe right now, as we're recording this, she's having dinner with Nancy Hightower.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm looking forward because I love...
And for the benefit of our listeners, I'm not the creepy stalker guy. I'm just a social media guy.
Yeah.
I know where everybody is and what they're doing.
Yes. Yo. Yes, for the benefit of the listeners, Patrick, not creepy at all.
Well, thank you for
and
that clarification.
Excellent taste in hats.
I do, and it's upstairs. So yes. I don't have it on because it's hot.
Yes, that's why I didn't bring my hat at all.
Yes. Yeah, you've been sporting the little one.
Yeah. It's smaller and cooler.
Yes.
In the thermal sense, not in the...
Now, I did see sense. Down on the Riverwalk, there is a Western store where you can buy a real Stetson.
Ooh.
And if I had a few $100s, because Stetsons are a couple of $100s, believe it or not.
And I don't think I could pull off a Stetson.
I don't know. I think I could. Yeah. We'd have to see.
I think you could make it.
It would be interesting. I mean, because I actually did link to that on Twitter, and I think you commented on it.
Yes.
Because I was looking at Shepler's in Denver has a really cool black Stetson hat that I was interested in. So. Yes, yes. We digress into hats.
Yeah.
So Glitter and Mayhem launching now. Are you going to the roller disco party?
I am going to the roller disco party. I will not be skating because I prefer my entertainment to not reduce the friction between me and the earth.
Okay.
But I will be there. I have to figure out how I'm getting there, but I will be there.
Now, where is it? I'm curious.
That is at the Rollercade, which, according to Google Maps, is about 7 miles from where we are recording this.
I asked John if they had a plan for getting everybody over there, and he's like, no.
There is no plan.
There is no plan. We're flying without a net.
Yep.
Should have got a bus.
Party bus. Yeah, we should have. We should have made them bunch
of you could have got one of those, the Hummers that are converted into like the limousine, mm-hmm. and they got all the seats inside and all the lights and everything. That would have been awesome.
Oh yeah,
that would have been perfect for Glitter and Mayhem.
Why didn't
you guys talk to me?
Yes, we should have next. Tell next time
tell
we
Klima.
Are going to have Klima consult with you on the party.
Yes, that would have been awesome.
Because as he said, this was an anthology to have a party. But it's a great anthology, stellar table of contents.
Yep.
And back to Maurice Broaddus, you must ask him how the electric spanking of the war babies came about. It involves, as many things with Maurice does, a large bottle of vodka.
You know what? If people only know Maurice from the podcasts that I've done with him, they probably think he's an alcoholic. And
okay.
He's not.
No.
It's just when he comes to these cons, he has a couple of drinks, and then the story ideas start flowing.
Yeah. It's like with a lot of writers at cons that you're really cutting loose, but in your day-to-day life, not so much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in his day-to-day life, he's got kids, he's got the family, he's the dad.
He's got his nonprofit work he's doing. MoCon.
MoCon.
Yes.
Yes. I even told him, I said, I need to come to MoCon. He's like, You do. You need to come to MoCon.
Yep. Yep. You plan for it now. It is great. He feeds you well.
He does?
He does. His sister does Jamaican catering of the brunch on Sunday, usually. I'm not going to try to nail her down to doing this, but yes, it's a lot of food interrupted by the occasional talk.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned that you don't do much with the magazine.
I do not.
You're on the publishing side.
Yes, I'm on the publishing side. I get confused with Lynn M. Thomas a lot because she is the editor-in-chief of Apex Magazine.
Right, and I've had Lynn on before, and we've talked about that.
Yes.
So, I mean, what goes into the day-to-day life of Janet with Apex? I mean, what do you have to deal with?
I do a lot of instant message chatting with our publisher, Jason Sizemore, to
let him know what's going on?
Yeah, let him know what's going on, status reports, find out what needs to be done, make sure he's got everything that he needs to do. But, you know, it's a lot of answering emails to the writers, and I do a lot of the copy editing of the books.
Okay. And what's involved in copy editing as far as Apex goes?
As with all copy editing, it depends on where...
It does, and that's kind of why I'm asking, yeah.
Yeah. I've had some that are really heavy, like telling them you need to move whole sections around, or a couple of times I've just told, oh, this is not even going in the book. And sometimes, like with Glitter and Mayhem, it came back that since they were short stories and we were in a tight timeline, they had done the editing, and I just had to go through and make sure all the commas were in the right places.
Right.
But it takes me 40 or 50 hours of editing work to go through a novel length and make sure everything is right, make sure there's consistency throughout.
Sure. So you do continuity?
I do continuity, yeah.
Making sure there's no loose ends? That they didn't name the same character or something and then change the name later on?
Yeah, or I also had a book where a cat's gender changed 3 times. Very confused cat.
Now, let me ask you, now, did the cat actually change, or maybe the gender identity? Maybe the gender identity of the cat changed. You don't know?
Yeah, it might not have been its. I don't want to pigeonhole a cat into any sort of binary thing.
What's your favorite part of this job? I mean, what is it that when you get up in the morning, you're like, oh, I'm going to get to do this today?
My favorite part is I get to read the books before almost anyone else.
Okay.
Like, right now, my copy editing project, I'm doing Gary A. Bronbeck's Cracked and Broken Path, Part 1. Which has been, I believe, 5 years that his fans have been waiting for it. And I get to go on Facebook and say, I'm reading it now, and it is so cool, you guys. In a year, we'll get to see this.
Okay.
But usually it's our publisher has read it, and whoever the beta readers for the author have read it. But I'm usually about the third person who has ever read this book, and I get to know how great it is before anybody else.
Wow, that's awesome.
And Cracked and Broken Path is incredible.
So that's what gets you up in the morning. That's what makes you excited about this.
Yes.
Okay.
And we just also put out a collection recently by Douglas F. Warwick, Plow the Bones, and that was another one where it was, yeah, yes, this is amazing. I get to be the one who reads this. Although that one, there was a substantial amount of that was reprints.
Okay.
In the collection.
And so is that the most exciting project for you right now? Is that book coming out that they've been waiting for 5 years for?
That, we have that. We also have a book we're working on, Severance by Chris Buchholz, which Cracked.com readers might know the name. He's a writer for Cracked.
Okay.
And that'll be coming out sometime in the next couple of years.
So that makes me think that there's going to be a lot of humor in that.
There is.
It's coming from Cracked.
Yes. It's a sci-fi humor.
Okay.
And that is, I actually just met his agent this morning.
Very cool.
So we are looking forward to that. Our very next project that we're coming out with is Maze by J.M. McDermott. which I will, I have to start putting the pieces of that together. We have all the pieces, the manuscript, the cover art, and everything, and we just have to assemble them into a nice, ready
coherent piece. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, Jim McDermott, he's big on Twitter.
He's
all over Twitter.
He is all over Twitter. He is around. I finally got to meet him too.
Oh, okay.
I've done some other work with him, and Disintegration Visions, his collection. I worked on that and finally got to actually meet him.
Very cool.
The odd thing about editing is I do a lot of interacting, and I get to see the writers. It's almost like seeing them naked, because I see their manuscript before it's been all airbrushed and polished and looking pretty for everybody else.
That's a very interesting way of putting that, yeah.
I would like to stress at this point, I have never seen any of the authors physically naked.
No, but you're basically seeing the raw words before they've been forged.
Yes. And the odd thing is, there are some authors that I can't read their other stuff now, because I can see what the other editors have done.
Interesting, okay.
I've seen how they handled this author's particular writing tics. And I can't see it, because I know how it's been changed.
Gotcha.
But I generally do, and I don't work with authors unless I enjoy reading their stuff.
Okay. Well, and you have to like it. I mean, if you don't like it, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah.
It's like with anything else. You know, if you're not happy,
and go
find something else.
Yeah. When you do copy or developmental editing on books, you're reading it at least four or five times backwards and forward. You're spending a lot of time with this manuscript. You don't want to have it be something you don't like.
Absolutely.
So.
No, I got you. I get it.
Yes.
And I see the excitement in your eyes. You know, you're like, oh, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I love it. I have the old career wisdom of find something you like to do and then find somebody who will pay you to do it.
Right.
Who knew that there are people who will pay you to be a pedantic know-it-all? But I make a living at it, so.
They will. There you go. So, we talked a little bit about the fact that you guys are up for a Hugo.
Yes.
And you are set to be the acceptor if you guys win.
Yeah, Jason could not make it to Texas this year, so I am the designated acceptor, or I've been calling myself the In Case of Hugo, or the Plan B alternate Jason.
Now, could Jason not make it because of the whole feud between Kentucky and Texas over barbecue?
I don't believe it was that. It was it was his summer schedule.
I gotcha, I gotcha. Are you nervous?
Well, now I am. You brought up one of them, we can't talk about it.
No. Now, look, here's been my experience with Hugo Awards. At least
have I
Hugo
nominations. About the Hugos?
Yes.
Yes.
So, how many people have come up and said, oh, you know, I really think you're going to win?
Should they be? Because if I haven't been getting that, and if that's an indication of how...
Oh, it's not an indication at all. It's just that it's like people come up and they oh, yeah, you're dominant for the... Oh, I've been talking to people, and oh, you're a shoo-in. You're a shoo-in. You know,
haven't been getting that, but I'm also not wearing the...
The pin? Okay.
Well, because I'm not nominated, I don't feel right putting the pin on.
But you're with Apex.
Yes, I am.
I put it right on the top there in the hat. Yeah. I put it right there where people can see it.
Yeah, and Jason has given me a list of people who are allowed to touch his Hugo if he wins it. And I am the keeper of the Hugo.
Gotcha.
Until I can deliver it to him if we should win.
So if you do win, are you going to take the Hugo and run?
You know, I'm going to be in an undisclosed location by the time this airs.
Jason's going to be like, working with Hugo?
Hugo, what Hugo?
What Hugo? Yeah.
He did send me with the acceptance speech if he went. He said I could try to do it in his accent. I don't think I can. I cannot pull off Jason accent-wise.
Well, in order to do the Southern accent, you gotta channel your inner Jeff Foxworthy. No?
I did not. That was really bad there.
But are you, as far as the con goes, I mean, having a little bit more freedom, being able to run around, talk to people.
Oh, I do like it.
Yeah.
Last year at the Hugo's, because I was Jason's plus one at the Hugo ceremony last year, we came in second. And after that, I have never been congratulated so much for not winning an award I was not up for.
Well, I tell you what, coming in second sucks.
It does. Yeah, I see you've got the two little pins going on.
I do have the two little pins going on, yes. I have them on my lapels here because, is that lapels or collars? Collars.
Collars.
They're called. Yeah, collars. So the collars of my shirt, I stole that from Howard Andrew Jones. Or no, not Howard Andrew, Howard Taylor.
Yeah.
Yes. Schlock Mercenary.
Yeah,
Howard Taylor. Yeah, he did this last year at ShyCon, and I liked it. And so I did one last year because I had the one. This year, because I'm up for FanCast and Fanzine, I put them both on. I feel like they're like rank insignia.
You know? you're like Hugo Ensign.
So, I apologize. I'm being distracted by people who were downstairs who wanted to go to dinner.
Oh, yes.
So, let's see.
Good idea.
Is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners before I let you go? Because we are actually, believe it or not, getting up on our time here.
Oh, okay.
It went so fast you didn't even realize it.
I know.
And you were nervous. I told you.
You were right. I was going to not be nervous after a while. And we totally didn't get to me
Tell us.
My editorial service. I'm starting up editorial services through a company called Stone & Chase, which will be me. Doing editorial services for authors who would like to contract directly. Mm-hmm. And also trying to work into doing some publication with reprint rights for authors who have their rights back from places. And I've got a couple of prospects that are looking pretty good for those.
Very cool. And are you going to, you're just going to do the editing and then get them ready in case they want to reprint them, maybe as an ebook or something?
Ebook and print. I'm working with a company that's local to me in Ohio that does print on demand, that I'm going to work on getting that into the distribution channel.
And do you have a website for this?
We bought the domain. I have not put a website up yet, but I will have information at janetharriott.com. That's Harriott with two T's.
Okay.
That's my website.
And is that also your Twitter?
Janet Harriott is my Twitter.
Okay. Do you do Facebook much?
I do Facebook.
Okay.
Although mostly Facebook is people I know. So if I don't actually know them, I tend to leave their little friend request.
And then don't you also have an Apex Publishing and an Apex Magazine, separate websites?
Yes. Our Apex Magazine is apex-magazine.com. And I am, as we speak, floating around because I can never remember. www.apexbookcompany.com.
Right.
Apex Publishing and Apex Publications was somebody else.
Okay, gotcha.
I believe it's the Airline Passenger Experience magazine. So.
All right, so you got the editorial services going. Hopefully by the time this airs, maybe you'll have some information up on JanetHarriott.com so people can check it out.
Possibly, do some linking.
All right, and are you doing some networking here to get some people in? Okay, good. And Janet Harriott on Twitter. You're always fun on Twitter. You're always fun on Facebook.
I talk about my cats a lot.
You do? Well, that's the only way to be successful in social media, is to talk about your kids or your cats.
I don't have kids, so I've got cats.
Me too. Anything else you want to tell our listeners before we go?
Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you for coming on. Hope you have a great World Cup.
Yep, you too.
All right, thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
This is the
This is the post-Hugo ceremonies addendum for the Janet Harriott interview, because now we sound like shit.
Yes.
But we totally forgot to talk about your fiction, and so we wanted to tack that on to the interview here.
Yeah.
So the sound quality is going to dip into much, much better with this version versus the first version, because I found a better place to record.
Yes, it's a kind of nice, lovely view of
Riverwalk.
Oh, the river. Yes,
it's right there. Riverwalk.
Yes, which is going to really come out great on radio, isn't it?
So, you wanted to talk about, you got a story out there.
I got a story, actually. On Saturday, right after we recorded the last podcast, I found out I had gotten my very first piece of published fiction. It was released. It's a novella that's the first novella that's in a collection of four. I have three other co-authors in the collection of Ravenwood Stepson of Mystery, Volume 2, put out by Airship 27. And Ravenwood, it was an old pulp character who was in the back of Secret Agent X pulps.
Okay.
And I describe him as Sherlock Holmes meets Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Really? Okay.
And yeah, so my story is all about a industrial espionage in the 30s and a giant headless robot.
Why is he headless?
Actually, that's the very last line of the story explains why he's headless.
Oh, okay, so you can't tell. Okay.
I can't tell, but
No spoilers. Gotcha. Okay, and
there's a very good reason for it.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yes.
He's an Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that's exciting. You found that out on Saturday after we recorded.
Yes. And then at the end of the year, Kerlak Press is putting out an anthology called Hooker Punk that I'm going to have a story in.
Okay.
Hooker Punk is like steampunk, except for instead of steam being the basis of the economy, it's prostitution.
Okay.
Yes, Maurice Broaddus refuses to listen to me do readings of the story.
Why?
You have to establish the premise.
Okay, gotcha.
Detail. The word slippery may be used.
Okay, gotcha.
And now that it's post-Hugo, we are no longer in the Schrodinger's rocket.
We're not, no. We now know. Yes, I've held it. It's in a box being hopefully ready to be shipped to my house, because the TSA, they say, won't let you take it on.
Yeah, it's a heavy sucker, and it's pointy, and you could kill a man with it.
Well, and what's funny is, in the past, I've brought my microphone rig with me to Worldcon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my microphone has a circular disc. It's one of those that you screw the bass into.
Uh-huh.
And so it's this really heavy, dense, circular thing that whenever I've tried to take it through, because what I'll do is I don't put any of my electronics in. I will check a bag, but I won't put any of my electronics in that bag. I carry it all with me, right? Because I'm paranoid.
I know. I do the same thing.
Well, I had that disc with me in my backpack, and I ended up actually at World Fantasy in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I had to spend extra time because the TSA did not like this dense disc that I was carrying with me. Now, it's funny, Denver TSA didn't have a problem with it, but Ohio TSA had a shit fit. And they were like, they felt like it was so dense, and the computers were not liking it. They were thinking it was like plastique or something, you know.
I had that problem. I bought fudge in the terminal at Logan. It's in the terminal in the airport. Bought it there. By the way, it's the fudge bar in terminal, the JetBlue terminal, for anybody who wants it. I'm just chilling random things at this point, and apparently it looks like plastic explosives when it goes through. But
which is what you want in your bag that you're trying to carry through the TSA.
Yes.
Yeah.
But and I've also discovered my secret of going through TSA. You would be amazed at the number of geeks who work airport security.
Mm.
I have a Mass Effect 3 t-shirt that I wear, and I usually when I'm traveling with my Indiana Jones fedora, they just smile, geek, let me.
Funny.
I get comments about how I like playing. I'm trying to do Mass Effect right now, and we've discovered I can't walk or shoot.
Mass Effect for me is difficult because I keep I play it for a little while, and then I get to the point where you get a ship, and I always go to the same planet on accident because I don't remember where I was last time I started over, and I'll always go to the same planet, and it's impossibly hard, and then I get stuck and I can't leave, and then I get frustrated that I stop playing, and then a year later I'll start the game over and go right back to that same point again. So it's kind of ridiculous. And I do have Mass Effect 2, I think. I don't think I have 3. But, yeah. So, exciting. You've got the novella out. You've got the short fiction coming out later on. Anything else going on in your fiction career?
Those are kind of the two big ones right now. I need to write more.
Yes, you do.
I've got my badge thing that says I should be writing.
You should be writing, yes. That's
my badge poetry.
That's the new Campbell Award winning Merle Lafferty's I Should Be Writing.
Yes.
So, anything else you wanted to tell folks? You also have the I Am Out of Excuses.
Yeah. Yes, I was going for the narrative structure on my badge ribbons. So I have I Grok Heinlein from the Heinlein Society. I Should Be Writing. I Am Out of Excuses. Ignite the Biosphere. SFF and WTF.
Yep, they're all very cool.
Yes. And I'm trying to make it a thing to have the bright blue biohazard, or I don't know, blue, but some bright color of biohazard ribbon for those of us who are a walking
bike. Had the Concred? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Concred.
I've
sucks.
Been not hugging because I'm a walking biohazard.
Yes, it gets pretty bad by the end of the con because you've got all these convergent germs.
Yes, I made
that
mistake.
Settle in my throat.
Yes, I made the mistake of going into the vegetable dip.
Alrighty, so when is the novella coming out?
The novella is already out.
It's out right now. Okay.
Yes. And it's an Amazon exclusive.
Okay. So they can go to Amazon and search for
Ravenwood, Stepson of Mystery.
Okay.
Volume 2. Or My Name, I think. I should try that, but I think My Name brings it up to Janet Harriet with 2 T's.
Okay. Yeah, it depends on if they put you on as an author that's searchable, or if you claim the book.
Oh, I will have to. Yep. Yeah, see, this is new things. A new author needs to know this.
Yes, it is. And what about the short fiction?
Short fiction will be... Sean Taylor is doing the editing, and he says they're aiming for an end-of-the-year release.
Very cool.
We don't know quite yet. So, thank you very much for letting me do the addendum.
No problem. Why don't you remind people about your website, your personal website?
My personal website is janetharriet.com, Harriet with 2 T's.
Mm-hmm. And your Twitter?
My Twitter, at Janet Harriet, and I am also on Facebook.
All right. Well, congratulations on getting the fiction out there. That's awesome.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. To comment about this or any of our podcast episodes, please call our voicemail line at 720-277-9082. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.